The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
And you keep on bringing these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
A lot of folks in law enforcement in King County are complaining that they can't book most of their arrests because the King County correctional facilities are not accepting bookings unless they are, for the most part, violent, serious crimes. So nonviolent misdemeanors are not actually getting booked, which is a big reason why we have prolific criminals running around committing crime after crime after crime. Now, somewhat hard to believe, but the King County adult jails, they're still operating under COVID protocols. But it has nothing to do with actual COVID. It has everything to do with an unprecedented staffing crisis, one that won't be fixed anytime soon. Joining me on the line to discuss is the president of the King County Corrections Guild, Dennis Folk. Dennis, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Thank you, Jason, for having me.
You've got about 100 vacancies right now out of about what you got budgeted for, about 500 corrections officers.
Yep.
That's a lot of folks who are not at work right now. Which is that why you're still operating under these COVID protocols?
It is. You know, we currently have 113 vacancies as of last week, budgeted for 503, I believe. And with our staffing crisis, you know, we can't hire people fast enough to fill our ranks and to be able to serve these police officers on the street that are out there, you know, doing their job every day and trying to keep crime out of the communities. And we've got to turn them away at the doors because we can't bring these people to jail.
Well, and you know what? You say you can't hire people fast enough. You did hire quite a few last year, 86, but it sounds like you couldn't get rid of them fast enough, or at least a portion of them.
No, we've got a huge retention problem that's happened. People are coming in. They're realizing the conditions in the jail. They don't want to work for King County. We're in active bargaining on alternative shifts right now. The county's implemented hiring bonuses, but those things don't seem to be working. You know, people just don't want to work for King County. You know, they're going to these other jurisdictions where they have better work conditions, and they're just rather be there than King County.
What are some of the work condition issues?
Well, right now it's the lack of staff. You know, you got people that are coming to work. You know, the county did implement where they're paying us 2.25 times pay for all volunteer overtime, which is helpful. You got people stepping up volunteer to do overtime, but they still don't have that work-life balance that the county prides itself about, where, you know, they don't have time to go spend time with their families or take their kid to the baseball game because, you know, hey, I'm going to work some extra hours to, you know, pay some bills because I can't afford to live in King County because everything's so expensive.
Precisely. And just looking at some of the numbers here, your new hires number is slightly different from what I got from the Department of Juvenile Detention Services. But, you know, it's virtually the same. They say 77 new hires. You actually have a higher number at 86. I'm going to go with your numbers because you're the guild. 81 full-time hires, 5 part-time hires. However, out of that, 23 of the full-timers and 2 of the part-timers separated for the reason you just mentioned and probably some other potential reasons, which means you let go 25 of the 86 that were hired, leaving you just a net gain of 61, which is happening at the exact same time that you have people who have long time worked for the department as corrections officers also leaving.
Yeah. So, you know, back in the early 90s, they built the RJC down in Kent. And when they built that jail, they did mass hiring. You know, they hired several hundred corrections officers. We have about 115, 120 people at retirement age right now that we've been long advocating, hey, you guys need to get ahead of this, and you need to start hiring people to account for these people that are going to be retiring. You know, just in the area I work at the courts at RJC, I've got 3 people retiring this year, and we're only 22 people, and I work in the courts. And that's going to impact us quite a bit.
Yeah, so last year you had a total separation number of 72. That includes the new hire separations, but, you know, 21 retirements. That's a lot.
It is a lot. You know, people, you know, they've served, you know, their careers, you know, for the county, and, you know, they want to go out and enjoy their retirements. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we've got these 113 vacancies that we can't seem to fill. We've been at over 100 for several years now. We can't get past this gap.
Why did this originally start? Was this all tied to the defund movement?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's nobody that wants to work in law enforcement anymore. I mean, you look at Seattle Police Department, King County Sheriff's Department, you know, agencies across the nation that they're struggling to fill their gaps. There are agencies out there right now that have done a lot of creative things to fill their vacancies, you know, including higher wages, better benefits, you know, with healthcare, education incentives, things like that, and they fill their gaps. I proposed a lot of these ideas to King County, and they've just fallen on deaf ears.
When you say they've just fallen on deaf ears, who are you going to? I mean, how involved is the King County executive, Dow Constantine?
I'm speaking with department leadership. You know, we often speak with the county executive's office and the King County Council. And I pitched a lot of these ideas, you know, through letters I've sent to them and emails and just nothing seems, you know, they're not interested. You know, I think they intentionally want to keep these numbers low.
Why do you think they want to keep the numbers low?
I think it's just, you know, this idea that, you know, that criminals are victims and, you know, that they don't deserve to be in jail. And, you know, we need to feel sorry. But, I mean, you look at what's happening in society right now, that a lot of people are upset, you know, of the crime that's happening. And, you know, they're starting to demand action. And we've got to do something. Something needs to happen. And you know, I'm all for programs if a program works, but, you know, there also needs to be accountability in programs. You know, sure. Somebody's going to be out there committing crime and they're, you know, repeat offenders. You know, you're going to have to face the justice system at some point. But, you know, I work in the courts every day and, you know, people are getting released every day.
Yeah, no kidding. Dennis Folk is joining me on the line. He's the president of the King County Corrections Guild. We're talking about a shocking level of staff for the King County Corrections facilities here in King County, two for adults. And they've got 113 openings as a result of this. They're not booking most of the criminals that end up getting caught or could get caught. There's obviously the impact of maybe not even making the arrest, knowing that the person's not going to be booked. And if you're dealing with someone who's like a homeless addict, they're not going to show up to court if you give them a notice to appear in front of a judge 3 weeks from now. So, you know, that's just encouraging some of this behavior to continue. You're the belief that this is all being done intentionally, that there's this move to depopulate prisons or in jails. And, you know, Dow Constantine and other Democrats have not hid that perspective. They've been pretty open about their intent.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, I work in the courts every day. So I see firsthand the people that are coming, that are in our jails right now. The people that are in our jails are the most violent people in society. And these judges, you know, you go into the work release, or not the work release program, but CCAP or PALS program or EHD. They cut off a bracelet. They get caught on a warrant. They come back. They get a slap on the wrist. Okay, we're going to put you back into a program. Two or three, four times they're going into these programs, and they're allowed to go in there, and they're not complying with the court conditions. It's a slap on the wrist. You know, there's no accountability. And these guys know that, and that's why they're out there committing this crime. They're stealing cars. They're committing property crimes. And those of us that are the taxpayers in the county, we're the ones suffering.
Yep. And when it comes to juvenile criminals, we're seeing clearly a rise in juvenile cases. How does staffing impact them? Because it sounded like they were, you know, willing to hold juveniles when necessary, but that doesn't mean that any of them are getting charged. It doesn't mean that a judge will keep them there.
Yeah, we represent the people in the adult jail.
The adults, yeah.
You know, the juvenile guild, you know, the juvenile folks have their own union up there. But, you know, I do communicate with their union president quite a bit about some of the challenges that they're facing up there. And like you mentioned, you know, there's been a long plan to close the youth jail with this zero youth to jail plan. But the people that are in the youth jail right now are probably the most violent offenders. These guys have committed violent murders, drive-by shootings, and robberies. And those people are in custody up there.
Well, what people don't seem to realize, sorry to cut you off, but this is an important piece. There was there was a kid who escaped the Echo Glen facility at the end of December. And I'm told by a number of sources that after he fled, he was never caught. He went into another state, and now he has been arrested for murder.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. I knew about the escape up there. But yeah, I mean, you hear stories about like that all the time.
What's the solution here? Because it doesn't seem like most people understand that this is actually going on and it might be intentional.
You know, there really is no easy solution. And I think that if somebody has a mental health disorder, a drug disorder, there needs to be something, you know, as far as treatment or something for them. But the courts have to have some follow through. There has to be some sort of mandate that you've completed the treatment, you're following the programs. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, okay, fine, you're going to serve your jail sentence now. But I don't see the accountability in the programs right now. You know, I see people that are in these programs where they're a slap on the wrist, don't do it again, you know, and they're just allowed to continue their behavior out there with no accountability. There has to be accountability.
Do you believe that leadership within the adult and juvenile detention department actually follow what you're saying, or do they more align with Dow Constantine's view?
Well, our jail leadership are appointed by the executive's office. So, you know, if you want to hold your job within the department, you're going to follow the vision of the executive's office. And if you're not doing that, they're going to replace you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people learned that with the King County Sheriff decision to go after the Burien ordinance on homelessness and refuse to actually enforce it, and then sue over the actual enforcement of the bill. I think everyone kind of realized it at that point. They, of course, the people in these positions, they'll say what you're saying is nonsense. They are acting on their own volition. They're all independent. I don't know how many people believe that or should believe it.
No. Yeah, they shouldn't.
Final question for you. What's a solution that you'd like to see happen right now?
Well, I think that, you know, if you really want to make an honest approach at filling our staffing vacancies, let's go to the table and have this conversation. You know, you're going to have to bring some pay, some benefits to make the job attractive. We're about to start contract negotiations. I hope the county wants to come to the table and have that honest conversation so we can fill these 113 vacancies and then start keeping our community safe.
Well, hopefully that does happen, because at the end of the day, no one benefits except for the criminals when it comes to keeping people out of jail. And how Dow Constantine and others who hold his position don't realize that is just beyond me. Again, we've been talking with Dennis Folk. He's the president of the King County Corrections Guild. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into some quick hits.